Hello, happy Thursday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. So we're taking questions from listeners just like you. By the way, you can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. So here are the questions we're going to try to tackle today, and there's a few of them. First of all, is it wrong to trust in what Jesus did? Second, can people die and go to hell or heaven and then come back to life? And then our third question for the day is, can we learn about theology from our experience? Those are great questions, and we're going to discuss them in this episode of Grace in Focus. Here we go.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions, which you can send to radio@faithalone.org. And I also want to point you to our website, faithalone.org. People write me questions all the time about, like, what does this verse mean? Or what do you think about that topic or this Bible translation? Go to faithalone.org and use our search bar, because if there's a question about grace or salvation, we've probably addressed it in some way, shape, or form. There's thousands of articles there. Feel free to use that resource, because it's there. About 1 million people a year come and visit the website and then search for answers there, so be one of those people. Well, here's a question from Oli. He says, I watched 10 of your videos, and I love your message that we are eternally secure and saved by believing on Jesus. My question is it wrong to trust in what he did for me on the cross, that he paid for my sins with his blood and rose again as my justification? Like, I trust in it as in believing that. So I'm not quite sure what that last sentence means, but is it wrong to trust in what Jesus did? I guess, well, two questions. What does it mean to trust?
Right.
And why would that be wrong?
Well, in the last show we just did, we talked about trust. Trust is kind of nebulous in English. I trust a doctor to do his best, right?
Yeah.
I may mean I believe he will do his best. I trust there will be a good outcome, but I realize there could be a bad outcome.
Yeah,
I could die.
You don't know for sure. You trust, sure. But you don't know for sure.
Right. In the case of the death of Christ, I wouldn't call it trusting. I would call it believing. I believe that he removed not only my sins, but the sins of the whole world at the cross, so that he made me and everyone else savable at the cross. I believe that. And not only that, but I believe that because of his shed blood at Calvary, once I believed in him, I not only got everlasting life, but I got the positional forgiveness of all my sins.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I believe that on a day-by-day basis, as I walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, 1 John 1:7. Of course, that's contingent with me confessing my sins, 1 John 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the blood of Christ has ongoing efficacy in my life. Every Sunday at our church, we partake of communion. When we take of the bread, we're reminded that Jesus' body was broken for us on the cross. When we take of the cup, we're reminded that Jesus' blood was shed for us, because all of the Christian life is lived in light of Jesus' death and resurrection.
That's right.
So to say, is it wrong to trust in Jesus' death on my behalf? No, that's absolutely what we should be doing. That's not the basis of our assurance. Our assurance is found in what he promised.
Right. We should also point out that you can believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, that in some sense he dealt with the sin problem, and totally not know that he gives eternal life to the believer right now.
Right. Isn't that most people in Christianity?
And that's one of the things that we try to emphasize here. It's like, don't stop at the death and resurrection. Continue on by sharing the promise of eternal life. Why did Jesus do this thing? What kind of salvation does the Savior give? He gives eternal salvation. He gives it at the moment of faith. A lot of people feel like, well, I'm going to trust in Jesus's death on the cross and his resurrection for some salvation that I might get in the future, but I'm not sure that I'm going to get it. In that case, that would be wrong. That's not the right way to approach the saving message.
That is absolutely wrong, and it's very common now, not just in Arminian circles, but in Calvinist circles, where people talk about final salvation. Someone like famed Calvinist pastor, doctor of theology, John Piper, he talks all the time about final salvation, and you've got to persevere in order to win final salvation.
Right.
Or Schreiner and Kennedy, two Calvinists, and they wrote a book, The Race Set Before Us, and they say we've got to run the race to the end in order to win final salvation. So, yeah, that is absolutely wrong. You can believe that Jesus died and rose again and not believe that by faith in him, you're secure forever.
Well, I was just reading some debates between some Catholic and some Orthodox theologians about basically universalism, whether or not everyone will be saved in the end. And one of the authors pointed out that according to the Council of Trent, it is a heresy to say that you can be sure that you're going to heaven when you die.
Right.
So the Catholic Church rejects assurance.
Well, not only
they
that,
say it's wrong to believe that you can be sure.
If I remember correctly, Trent anathematizes it.
Yeah.
In other words, you're under eternal condemnation unless you stop believing that.
So some traditions are saying it's not just possible to be assured. It's wrong to be assured.
I would add one little caveat. I think, now this may not have been in Trent, but I think the current Catholic view is that a small number of Catholics over the years have had special revelation from God
right.
that they were going to make it to heaven
right.
and
yeah.
that they were secure.
Right.
And those small number were ones who were not wrong in being assured because God gave them some special word.
Well, that's a good segue to Oli's next question. He says, I have watched other videos, people saying that they went to hell, even though they thought they were saved, but they didn't really follow Jesus or behave as they should. And so they go to hell and they come back. And he says, I know it smells like Lordship Works salvation, but would you comment on what you think is going on with these people who die and then come back from the dead and say that they've been in hell?
Right. Well, I would say all such stories, other than the Apostle Paul, who didn't die and go to the third heaven, but he was translated into third heaven for a time, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse 3. Aside from that, all of these stories are made-up stories. They're hallucinations. They're what people thought. But when people said they came back from Sheol, from Hades, that's mm-hmm. not correct. When they say they came back from the third heaven, that's not correct. Now, people may see some white light when they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people report that. So, okay, maybe that's some kind of chemicals that occur in your brain for a person who is in the process of dying. I've heard of lots of people, they call them NDEs,
yeah.
near-death experiences.
That's right.
People see themselves floating over themselves, and probably that's where the inner person, the soul, spirit, is separated from the physical body.
So wait, you believe that?
I believe that.
But you don't believe that then the soul goes to heaven or hell or
no.
comes back?
Because once that occurs, there's no coming back. And so these people are making all these claims. They're selling books, sometimes even little children. Some boy claimed he went to heaven and came back and his dad helped him write a book. I think that's exploitation, but whatever, the Bible does not give us warrant for doing that. Now, there are a few other biblical examples, I guess.
Yeah.
At the witch at Endor, Saul called up Samuel,
right.
and Samuel actually appeared from the dead. Of course, he was in the good part of Sheol, which some people will call heaven, but it's not really heaven. It was the good part of Sheol, and
paradise.
He was called up paradise. Yeah,
Abraham's bosom.
Right. So he was called up from there, and he actually did appear. But aside from that, no.
You're a skeptic.
I'm definitely a skeptic.
Now, there's no Bible verse that says that can't happen.
There's no Bible
verse. Obviously, it has happened, like what you just said, with Samuel and with Paul.
Well, with Samuel and Paul, neither one of them actually came back. In Paul's case, he didn't die. There's no indication he died.
Right.
And in Samuel's case, he didn't come back and walk the earth for some period of time.
Right.
And so neither one of those. What you'd have to say is somebody like Lazarus.
Right, or Eutyches maybe.
Yeah.
Where did they go, I wonder? They must have gone somewhere.
Well, Lazarus was dead for 4 days.
Yeah.
And so I would have said that Lazarus would have gone to paradise, to Abraham's bosom
yeah.
for those 4 days, and he would have come back. He could have given some report. However, it's quite possible that what God did in a special case like that, and in other cases where he raised people from the dead, is he may have put them in a situation where their soul and spirit was kind of hovering over their body for days.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know? Okay, I would say hypothetically that would be so, but Lazarus didn't write a book about it.
Well, he didn't say anything about it, right? We really don't hear about Lazarus.
No.
And we don't know if he had any conscious experience.
And the guy who fell out of the window in Acts chapter 20, Eutychus, we don't know. First of all, we're not absolutely sure he died, but I think he did. But he was probably only dead for a few minutes, so it'd be one of these out-of-body experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have anybody in the Bible that's giving this kind of an account. So, yeah, right. Call me a skeptic.
Yeah, okay.
This follows the principle that we get our teaching from the Word of God. We don't get it from experience.
Right.
Whether it's my experience or somebody else's experience, I don't think that God's adding to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow these books, you'd be adding to the Bible all the time.
So basically what you're saying is we should only get theology from the Bible. We shouldn't get theology from anything else.
That's correct.
Well, don't you think, though, that you kind of learn, maybe you learn how to be a Christian disciple by, you know, looking at other Christians and figuring out, oh, this is what love, this is how love works here, or this is what love works
well,
there.
Well, of course, there is truth in that. Obviously, Hebrews chapter 13, we're to follow the example of those who have taught us in the faith. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. There are lots of examples of the fact that Christian growth is a body kind of growth,
mm-hmm.
so that Hebrews chapter 10, let's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together,
right?
But let's encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. So yes, we do look at the examples of godly Christians, and that does help us in our Christian walk, but that's not beyond the Scriptures.
You're not getting doctrine from that.
No.
You're just learning how to apply doctrine, maybe.
Well, and also, of course, you're getting affirmation of doctrine.
Mm-hmm, right.
You're seeing it lived out.
Right, right. So don't take your theology from these near-death experience books. Don't take your theology from these books that claim that someone has gone to hell and come back again or gone to heaven and come back again. Take your theology from the Bible and judge everything else in light of the Bible.
Right, and even if you're reading, I wrote a book called 10 Most Misunderstood Words, and I have a chapter on heaven and a chapter on hell. Fine, read them, but that's not Scripture. I discuss Scripture all through those chapters, and to the degree I accurately explain the Scriptures, you'll get help in reading that. But our guide is the Word of God.
Thank you for your questions, Ole, and keep on sending them to us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what the difference is between eternal security and assurance, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.